بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. InshaAllah ta'ala, tonight, if Allah Azza wa Jal bless us with continuing the surah bi-ithnillah, the aim is to conclude the surah, and we reach to qawlihi ta'ala in the fourth ayah, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Now, normally what could have been said in Arabic is وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. What's coming later in your life is going to be better than what has already come. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. At this lamb, how it's translated, in other words, Allah is saying, most definitely, for sure, I swear to it, the hereafter, what is to come, is better for you than what has already happened in your life. It's better for you than the earlier. And so there's so much emphasis with this lamb. And why is it there? What does it imply? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's being reassured. Now that the wahi has stopped, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the wahi again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through a phase of depression, of sadness. And from the mushrikun, he heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wadda'aka. He's pretty much, he said goodbye to you, he's farewelled you, and qala, and he's also displeased with you. That would have creeped into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mind. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to assure the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that's not the case. So he says to him, walal akhiratu, most definitely, for sure, I swear to it, what is to come is better than the earlier that has already come in your life. Now this has been interpreted in two ways. The first of which is, the ulama said, al-akhirah, it's referring literally to the hereafter. That the hereafter is better for you than this world. You know, literally. In other words, the Jannah, the Hawd, the Kawthar that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted you over there, that is better for you than al-ula, than this worldly life. And you know, subhanAllah, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came close to his death time, and when he was dying, the angel of death came to him, and he gave him two options. Do you want to live until the day of judgment, or you want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so from the two options, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah had told him, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, that the hereafter is better for you than here. So he chose to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one saying. The other way it's been interpreted is that al-akhirah refers to the later or to the latter part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to him that the latter part of your life will be easier and will be better for you than the earlier part of your life. Meaning that the challenges you're going to face in the future, the challenges you're going to face in the later part of your life, they're going to be easier than the challenges you've already faced in the earlier part of your life. Yani basically it means that the toughest and the hardest part of you being a prophet, that's over. That's already done, that's over. Now, how can that be the case? How can Allah Azza wa Jal say this, and what does it mean? How can it be that the toughest part is already done? Allah Azza wa Jal is telling him, al-akhirah khayrun laka min al-ula. He's promising him and saying that what is now going to come in the later part of your life is going to be better than what has already come. So how do we understand this when we know that this is Surah Al-Duha? It's a Meccan Surah. What does a Meccan Surah mean? It means that Hijrah hasn't happened yet. The torture towards the believers hasn't happened yet. Badr hasn't happened. Uhud hasn't happened. Ghazwat Al-Ahzab hasn't happened. None of these trials have ever occurred yet. And Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to the messenger, what is coming is going to be better. So we need to understand this. You know, the toughest part in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the earliest part of his life. And the toughest part is not a physical challenge, rather it's a psychological challenge. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the beginning of the da'wah, when he was revealed the message, when he was given the Qur'an, he was the only believer. No one else was the believer. This is psychologically, it's challenging, it's tough, it's difficult. He was the only one. And everyone would call him crazy. And they would speak things about him. They would ridicule him. They would mock him. They would slander him. And anyone who believed in him, they would say he's crazy as well. And subhanAllah, it becomes harder and harder for him to open his mouth and preach about Allah and teach the people the deen. Therefore, the beginning of Islam was what's known as a da'wah sirriya, a secret da'wah for the first 3 years. Because it's very difficult to open your mouth outside. And you think of it, if there's 100 Muslims and there is one kafir who gets up and speaks something bad against Islam, we can all find the courage to stand up and we can all find the courage to get up and say, no, that's wrong. But if there's thousands of kuffar and there's only one of us, one Muslim, it's going to be very difficult to open your mouth and speak. And that's the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning of the da'wah in Mecca. And that's known as a da'wah sirriya, right? The secret da'wah, which happened for 3 years. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go from house to house, would give secret da'wah. So Allah azza wa jal is saying to him, وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. What does that mean? Allah azza wa jal is suggesting to him, he's already indicating to him, that your numbers are going to increase and your followers are going to increase and the da'wah is going to become easier upon you. And so after the 3 years of da'wah, after the 3 years of da'wah sirriya, there happened the da'wah al-jahriya, which that took on for 7 years, and that was the public open da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is saying to him, وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. That means Allah is promising him, your numbers are going to grow, your followers are going to grow, and bit by bit, the mockery of the disbelievers is going to become less and less relevant to you. It's going to become easier when your followers grow. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising him that the internal struggle, that is to preach the message, that is going to become easier. However, the external struggles, the torture that they're going to face, the ghazawat, the wars that they're going to be involved in, the munafiqoon that they're going to deal with, these are all external struggles that is going to be difficult, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easier and easier as they go. So subhanAllah, this is the meaning of وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ, that the later part in your life, in other words, in terms of da'wah, that's going to be easier. Within this ayah, there's a guarantee that your followers and those who believe with you, they're going to grow bit by bit, and you're going to find relaxation in giving this da'wah. It will no longer be sirriya, part a secret, it'll be jahriya, it'll be out in public. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Allah didn't say, وَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. He added the word لَكَ. And this لَكَ, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the later part in your life is going to be better for you, laka for you, than the earlier. This laka, it highlights, it indicates that things will especially be easy and better for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exclusive. Things are going to be so easy and better for you like no one else before. And no one has received this much khair like you have received it. And so, from this khair that Allah Azza wa Jal gives him in the hereafter, for example, if we were to take the ayah as meaning, وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ, in other words, the hereafter, then what did Allah give him in the hereafter that never gave anyone else? Al-Maqam al-Mahmood, the Shafa'a, the Kawthar, the Hawd, and so on. He's given him these, he's given no one like him. This is وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. In this life, if we were to take now the second opinion, that they said, Al-akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, the later part of your life will be better than the earlier part of your life, then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life that He gave no one like Him? Let's count them. What is he going to give him in his later life that he's never given anyone before? The first of which is victory and the domination of Islam. Later on in his life, he will migrate to Medina, he'll establish an Islamic state there, he'll have authority over there. That's Al-Akhirah, which is Medina, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, where you are in Mecca right now. Later on in your life, there's going to be the conquest of Mecca, فَتْحُ Mecca, and the Kaaba will be cleaned from the idols and from shirk. And so, the Kaaba will become the center of worship for the Ummah until the Day of Judgment. So this is Al-Akhirah. This came right toward the end of his life. Allah is saying to him, what's to come is going to be better than the earlier. So that includes Fatah Makkah and the cleaning of the house. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will give him the honor to open Makkah and to clean it from the idols and the shirk. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. What else was better in his later part of his life than the earlier? You know, everywhere in the world, the adhan is made and it's called. And every single minute it's made non-stop. You know, every second there's sunset. And every sunset there's adhanul maghrib. And in every single adhan we're saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So we're elevating the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is al-akhirah. What's to come? In other words, your mention will be non-stop. That's better than the beginning. The beginning people want to try to kill you. Now you know, we always say to each other, and we always encourage each other to do sadaqah jariyah. Brother, do sadaqah jariyah before you die, so your hasanat can continue as you're in your grave. You know, who did the most sadaqah jariyah? No one like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time you smile to your brother, where did you learn that from? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're getting rewarded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also getting rewarded. Every single Islamic book you read, every time you read Quran, who taught you? Your teacher. Who taught your teacher? His teacher. Ultimately, who taught the Quran? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every letter that's recited, not only hasanat in your account and your teacher's account, also hasanat in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's account. So, walal akhirah, what's to come for you? Non-stop hasanat. This is better for you than the beginning and the earlier. Every Islamic book you read, every salat you pray, anything good you do in Islam, it was all inspired by his teachings. He gets his reward and he's in his grave. Walal akhirah, what is to come to you of reward and hasanat is much better for you than the earlier of what has already come for you. And subhanallah, you know, the more good the sahaba do, and the more good everyone does until the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting its reward. So this is part of the meaning of al-akhirah. What is coming of reward is better for you than the earlier al-ula. Now which one is correct? We said that al-akhirah tu khayrun laka min al-ula had two opinions. Al-akhirah, the hereafter. And others said al-akhirah referring to the later part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Now based on the principle I've taught before, which one is the most correct opinion? Huh? Both of them. Both of them, that's correct. But they're both correct. And I'll tell you why they're both correct. Because Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Had Allah said the hereafter is better than the dunya, then that would have meant the akhirah is referring to the hereafter, because opposite to it is a dunya. But Allah said, الْأُولَى. And since he said al-ula, that implies vastness in meaning. Tawassu' fil ma'na. Now the ma'na opens up. What's al-ula? Al-ula is this world and everything earlier in your life. And al-akhirah, the hereafter, that is going to come at the end. Doesn't come at the beginning, comes at the end. And also al-akhirah, the later part in your life. And you know, yani subhanallah, the proof for that, it's the two opinions, is as already we explained. Because if we said al-akhirah is only for referring to the hereafter, then we limited the khayr, the good, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're only saying that the khayr he'll receive will only be over there. But that's wrong. Because the khayr he's receiving is right here, during his life, during his death in his grave, and after in the Day of Judgment. And even a stronger proof we'll find in this surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا, Didn't he find you an orphan for our? In other words, an orphan was his earlier part in life. And he made that easier for him by for our. He gave him shelter. That's the earlier part in his life. He was seeking. He was lost. Fahada. And then the later part in his life was better. Because why? He gave him huda. He gave him guidance. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا. And at the beginning you were desperate. You were poor. And Allah Azza wa Jal made that easier in the later part of your life. فَأَغْنَى. He made you free of all need. And He enriched you. We'll speak to those inshallah ta'ala about that when we get there. So, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The tafsir of this, we'll get into it when we get to the ayat. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى. So those ayat are almost a tafsir of وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Now, some ulama used this ayah, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, to prove that Al-Madinah is better than Mecca. Because Al-Madinah came in the later part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And Allah is saying that whatever came later is better than the earlier. So they said Al-Madinah is better than Mecca. Wallahu a'lam. So this ayah, as we said, it has two meanings. The later part of your life will be better than the earlier part. And it also means that the hereafter is better than this life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. MashaAllah, this ayah is full. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures His love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, وَلَسَوْفَ. I swear to it. I will soon give you, and I'll give you, and I'll give you, فَتَرْضَى. Then you will be pleased. Then you will be happy. But Allah could have said, وَسَيُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ. But He said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. Now there's a difference between سَيُعْطِيك, سَوْفَ يُعْطِيك. We find this in the Quran in Surah Al-Naba. Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. And in Surah Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, He said, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Right? So, for example, I'll give you a smaller example so I can share with you the difference. For example, I can say, سَآكُلْ. I will eat soon. سَوْفَ آكُلْ also means I will eat soon. But what is the difference between سَوْفَ آكُلْ and سَآكُلْ? سَوْفَ آكُلْ, it would mean I will be eating soon, but not too soon, a little bit later. Because سَوْفَ is a longer word. So because سَوْفَ is longer, سَوْفَ آكُلْ would mean I will eat soon, but not too soon, a little bit later. سَآكُلْ would mean I would eat soon. And soon, you know, very quicker than سَوْفَ آكُلْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيك. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, soon I will give you, but not too soon, because He said sofa, a little bit, يعني, a little bit later on I will give you. Meaning until you get there, there are things to do in the meantime. What should you do? And that will be mentioned in the surah, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. You should be doing this before you get that سوف يعطيك, these givings that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you. Now, ولسوف يعطيك ربك, your Lord will give you. Your Lord will give you. You know, if you say to your child, I'll give you, say to your child, I'll give you, he'll say to you, give me what? What are you going to give me? You just said, don't worry, I'll give you. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, soon I will give you. But He doesn't mention what He's going to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't mention anything. And the ulama, they say, أطلق العطاء ولم يحدد. He made the giving open. He opened it and He didn't put any limits onto it. So imagine a king comes to you and he says to you, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you until you get happy. What are you going to think? Are you going to get 10 bucks from this king? Or $20 from this king? You're going to think a king is telling me, I'll give you. He's not telling me how much. It better be He's going to give me something decent. Right? So the Arabs would say, Al-ata'u ala qadri al-mu'ti. Al-ata'u ala qadri al-mu'ti. That the size of giving is according to the one that's speaking. So if a kid says to you, I'm going to give you, then you're going to know maybe $5-6 from this kid. If a school student tells you, I'm going to give you, then that's going to be what, $100-$200? If a rich man says, I'm going to give you, perhaps it's somewhere there in the thousands, in the hundred thousands. If a king said, I'll give you, maybe that's in the millions. If a government said, I'll give you, maybe that's even more. Well, how about if Allah Azza wa Jal says, I'll give you, don't worry about it, I will give you. You're just left to think of how much is he going to give him. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يُعْطِيك. He didn't say, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيك. Now remember in the previous surah, we took these two words, أَعْطَى and أَتَى. What's the difference between أَعْطَى and أَتَى? What's أَعْطَى? To give a lot. What's أَتَى? To give. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيك, not وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيك. So that means already Allah is saying, I'm going to give you, but I'm going to give you a lot. Now look at this. Allah Azza wa Jal used أَعْطَى to explain how much He's going to give him. The word أَعْطَى is a lot already. On top of that, Allah is giving. That's a lot, even more. And on top of that, He didn't even put a limit to what He's going to give him. How much is that now? Subhanallah, giving on top of giving on top of giving, it's unimaginable. Now, there's two more differences with the word A'ta and A'ta. I didn't share with you last week, I want to share with you now. Two differences. The word A'ta, we said it means to give less. A'ta means to give a lot. Here's the other difference. Memorize this. A'ta means to give something, but there's the possibility of taking it back. A'ta is to give, but to never take it back. So for example, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Oh Allah, you give the mulk, the kingdom, to whoever you will. And you know when Allah gives someone mulk, kingdom, it doesn't stay with you too long. Because Allah says, وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. He gave it to you, He used the word تُؤْتِ, آتَى. But then He said, تَنْزِعُ, He'll snatch it away from you anytime He wants. Whenever He wants, whoever He wills, He'll take it back away from you. That's إِتَى, to give with the possibility of taking back. A'ta is not like that. A'ta is give and never take back. Allah is saying to Rasulullah SAW, I am going to give you, I don't want it back. That's yours. All of it is yours. The other difference, A'ta means to give, but with a responsibility. There's a responsibility with A'ta. You don't do whatever you want with A'ta. A'ta, you're conditioned. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, He teaches us, A'tu zakah, give us zakah. You know, the one that takes the zakat, it's responsibility. He can't do anything with this wealth. He can't go buy haram and buy drugs with it and buy cigarettes, and they can't do that. There's responsibility. I gave my zakat, you better put it in the halal. You can't use it for anything else. Okay, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أَلَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. When Allah speaks about giving the book, why? Because the book comes with a responsibility. Not أَعْطَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. أَتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. When the book is given, it's given with responsibility. So you can't just say, oh, I'll do whatever I want from the book, I'll take what I want, I'll leave what I want. That's not أَتَى. You didn't understand the responsibility. As for أَعْطَى, there is no condition, no responsibility, no string attached. Take it, it's yours, do whatever you want with it. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ. No strings attached, no conditions of what Allah is going to give you. You do what you want with this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, amazing. Look in the case of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to him, هَذَا عَطَاؤُنَا. Allah Azza wa Jal tells Sulaiman, He says, Sulaiman had a huge kingdom. Allah said to him, هَذَا عَطَاؤُنَا. This is our عطاء to you. So what did He say to him? فَمْنُنْ أَوْ أَمْسِكْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. He said, give who you want and hold back. It's up to you. Do what you want with it. You want to give it fi sabilillah, give it. You want to keep it for yourself, give it. Because it's our ata for you. There's no conditions attached to it. So that's the difference between ata and ata. Okay. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. The word يُعْطِيكَ is a present tense. Right? We read in surah, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ is a past tense. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ past. يُعْطِيكَ is the present. The present, it implies continuity. In other words, يُعْطِيك means I'm going to give you now and I'm going to give you in the future. And Allah already took care of what He gave him in the past when He said, أَنَّا أَعْطَيْنَكَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal have given Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the past. He's giving him now in the present, He'll give him in the future. Now let's discuss a few things Allah gave him in this life. What did he give him? That he gave no other except him. Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam unique abilities in his body, like no one else. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could hear what people couldn't hear. So in the hadith he says, "Attat al-sama," that I heard the sky squeak. You know timber floors, when you walk on them and they make that squeaking sound, that's attat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here on earth, he heard it and he told his companions, Allah gave him this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could see what people couldn't see. So he's on earth and he sees the paradise. When he's praying Salat al-Kusuf, he says to his companions, تَقَدَّمْتُ وَبَسَطْتُ يَدِي لِآخُذَ مِنْ ثَمَرِ الْجَنَّةِ He was praying Salat al-Kusuf, all of a sudden he walks forward and he says to his companions, I saw the paradise and I saw a fruit in the paradise, so I went to pick a fruit from it, from the tree. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ لِرُؤْيَةِ النَّارِ And then he returned back, he all of a sudden got scared and he went back. They said to him, what's this? He said, then I saw the fire. So he saw what people didn't see. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ Allah Azza wa Jal gave him this ability. A third thing, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him that he could see from behind of him. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم would tell his companions, صَوُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ Straighten your lines in salat. He would say, فَإِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ مِنْ خَلْفِي كَمَا أَرَاكُمْ مِنْ أَمَامِي I can see you from behind, just like I see you from in front. And you know, Suraqah ibn Malik, when he went to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, that Rasulullah, he says, Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that Suraqah is behind and I didn't even see him turn his head around. So Allah gave him the ability to see behind him, even if he doesn't even turn his head around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him that his sweat was perfume. It was musk. Even narrated that the women of Al-Madinah, they used to go and take from his sweat so they can perfume their house with it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not wipe his hand on a sick person except this person became cured by the permission of Allah azza wa jal. He wiped the head of a bald man and his hair regrew. He wiped the eye of Abu Qatada after it had fallen from its place in war and it returned back to its place, no surgery, no nothing. Ali radiallahu anhu, he had an infection in his eye. They call it al-ramad, conjunctivitis. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spat in his eye. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, Wallahi, it was better and stronger than the other one. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ This is what Allah gave him in this life. He was the tallest one. He wouldn't stand next to anyone except that he was taller than him. Allah gave him this. So no one could be higher than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If he walked with others, he wouldn't be, no one would be able to keep up with him. So much so that the Sahaba used to say, كُنَّا نَجْرِي وَالنَّبِيُّ يَمْشِي The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk and we would pace walk and we couldn't even keep up to him. And they would describe his walk as كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبْ You know, like how you have the downhill. You don't want to run, but you just walk it. That normal walk, that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. The Sahaba would try to keep up, they couldn't keep up. Allah gave him these abilities. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى Allah Azza wa Jal gave him strength and power. He was the strongest of men and he was the most courageous of them. One night, the people of Medina heard a loud bang, a loud sound from outside. But everyone got scared. They walked into their dwellings, in their houses, they locked the doors and they stayed there. Upon hearing this sound, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately, he took the horse of Abu Talha. It was unsaddled, there was no saddle on it. He just got on top of it and it was at night and he went alone and he took his sword with him. He went until he reached that sound. He made sure everything is alright and it was normal. And he came back to the people and he said to them, لَن تَرَاعُوا لَن تَرَاعُوا Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And he comforted the people. Strength. Allah gave him this. Went by himself. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, that if we were in the battlefield, and the war intensified, and people were being killed and slaughtered, The closest one to the enemy would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we used to hide behind him, and we used to use him as a shield because of his courage and his strength. And subhanAllah, many more of what Allah Azza wa Jal gave him in this life. And in his grave, he's giving him hasanat that never stop. Ongoing sadaqah jariyah, no one did like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the hereafter, what is there is even better. Al-Kawthar, what he drinks from. Al-Hawd, Al-Shafa'a al-Kubra, the intercession. Al-Maqam al-Mahmud, the grand, the greatest station in the paradise. All this is وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And he'll give you a lot, فَتَرْضَى, and you will be pleased. But you know the thing is, pleased with who? If I say I'm pleased, if I just told you now I'm pleased, the first question would be, who are you pleased with? Allah Azza wa Jal didn't say, فَتَرْضَى عَنِ اللَّهِ, you'll be pleased with Allah. He kept it open, right? التَوَسُّعْ فِي الْمَعْنَى. He kept it open so he can give more info, more tafsir, more understanding, more meaning. In other words, I will give you and you'll be pleased. What does that mean? You'll be pleased with Allah. You'll be pleased with the qadr of Allah. You'll be pleased with the justice of Allah, with the law of Allah. You'll be pleased if Allah Azza wa Jal punishes someone from your nation. You'll be pleased. You won't have a problem. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Because he understands that this is all only happening by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and he now mentions in detail what specifically did he give him. So he said, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you an orphan and he gave you shelter? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this in a question form, in a rhetorical question. Allah could have said, وَجَدَكَ يَتِيمًا. He found you an orphan and he sheltered you. But Allah asked the question, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you an orphan and gave you refuge and gave you shelter? Why did Allah ask this question? Why did Allah Azza wa Jal put it in a rhetorical question? To reassure the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he loves him and is pleased with him. You know, sometimes, or most of the times, the wife would say, I think you hate me. I don't think you love me. What does the husband in response say? But didn't I get married to you? Didn't I do this for you? Didn't I give you this? Didn't I get you that? Didn't we go together there? Didn't we do this together? He asks questions. In other words, what made you think I hate you? Didn't I do all this for you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is really saddened because the wahi stopped, then Allah is telling him, didn't I find you an orphan and gave you shelter? Meaning the same way I found you an orphan and I helped you in the past is the same way I'll help you now and in the future. Why would you think that I farewelled you or that I'm displeased with you? Didn't I find you an orphan and I gave you shelter? So I took care of you at the beginning, I'll take care of you now. So, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا. What's a yatim? They say the yatim, a bird, the yatim of a bird is a bird that loses both its parents. That's a yatim in terms of the birds. In terms of the animals, if they lose their mother, the animal's a yatim. In terms of human beings, if you lose the father and the child is before the age of puberty, that's a yatim in terms of the human being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost all. He lost his father when he was 6 months in the womb of his mother. He didn't see his dad. And then when he was born, he lived 4 years under the care of Halima Sa'diya. And then he came from the desert to live 2 years with his mother. And then at the age of six, his mother died. Then he was taken to the care of Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather. He lived with him 2 years, and Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, died. And he was at the age of 8, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine an orphan that lived in Mecca, yani during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During those times, there was alcohol, there was zina, there was music, there was women dancing, there's nakedness around the Kaaba, people doing all sorts of fawahish and munkarat. And imagine a yatim, an orphan, lived at that time. No dad, no mum, no one to tell him what to do, what not to do. How would this kid grow up? Most definitely he would grow up rebellious, and he'd transgress, and he would do the fawahish and munkarat just like everyone else. So how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being a yatim, how did he become ala khuluqin azim? How did he become upon great character? Because Allah took care of him fa'awa. وَجَدَكَ أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Simply because Allah Azza wa Jal took care of him. And you know, in the hadith, it reported, no one ever saw the private parts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Allah took care of him. He never ever worshipped the idols because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him. He never drank alcohol. He never performed a zina. He never sat in gatherings of alcohol or music at all, because fa'awa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him. Except once. As-sahaba, they asked him, أَشَارَكْتَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is later on in his life. They said, did you participate in any jahiliyyah in your life? He said, لَا إِلَّا مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً. He said, no, not at all. Except once. And he said the story. He said, I was a young boy in Mecca, and I would take care of sheep. And I had a friend of mine. He's got a friend. And there was a wedding that night. And the friend told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, back then, just Ya Muhammad, he wasn't the Prophet yet. He said, Ya Muhammad, keep your sheep with me and go to the wedding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam back then, he said, no, I don't want. You go, I'll take care of your sheep. So the guy, his friend went to the wedding. Later on, the second time round, there was another wedding. And his friend, he insisted that Rasulullah ﷺ has to go this time. He said to him, you go, give me your sheep, I'll take care of him, you go. Go, go, go. He kept on him until Rasulullah ﷺ said, all right, here, take my sheep and I'm going. And the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the wedding. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says to his companions, فَأُلْقِيَ عَلَيَّ النَّوْمِ فَلَمْ أَسْتَيْقِظْ إِلَّا مِنْ أَشِعَّةِ الشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْيَوْمِ التَّالِي. He said, sleep overcame me. Sleep overcame me. And I did not wake up until the next morning by the rays of the sun. So although he was there, there was music and alcohol. Allah Azza wa Jal protected his hearing. He did not hear anything. He protected what went in his system. He didn't drink anything, obviously, because he's sleeping. He protected his sight. He did not see anything because he was sleeping. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Part of the meaning of awa. It's how he took care of him when he was small. The ulama say that this shelter, this awa that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him, it was through his uncle Abu Talib. When he was an orphan, Abu Talib then took care of him after Abdul Muttalib. After the age of 8, Abu Talib took care of him until 3 years before the Hijrah. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be brought up as an orphan? Why did Allah choose this for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know why? Simply so that Allah can take care of all of his needs from A to Z. And that no one puts his hand into raising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he was an orphan. So Allah can take care of all of his needs. And you know, when a child is given an upbringing, and then later on, you hear it from time to time, people will say, MashaAllah, this son is like his dad. Or he's like his grandfather. You know, like father, like son, they would say. You know, so always there's this ascribing the child to his parents. But Allah Azza wa Jal chose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be an orphan since birth. So that no one would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his thoughts and his ideas from his father or from his grandfather. He had no father. So his thoughts, where are they coming from? Must be coming from somewhere divine. Must be coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one had an influence on him. Even when he was born, he lived 4 years in the desert, away from his family. He couldn't possibly have learned anything from them. So yani by the age of 8, even his grandfather died. And subhanallah, after this, he was taken into the care of his uncle Abu Talib. And you know, subhanallah, from the age of 8 until 3 years before Hijrah, that was all with Abu Talib. from the perfection of this wisdom is that Allah decreed Abu Talib will not become a Muslim. You know why? So people cannot say that his uncle had an influence on him. Even then Allah decreed that Abu Talib will not become a Muslim. So people don't say later on, him and Abu Talib had something together and they both shared their ideas and that's why he's Muslim and now he's Muslim. Not even that. From the beginning A to Z, he was an orphan, so Allah Azza wa Jalla takes care of all his needs. And so no one says he was influenced by his parents, he was influenced by his tribe, by his grandfather, by his uncle. No influence whatsoever. Pure wahi coming from above to below, and that's all it is. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. This is the next ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people make mistake in this ayah. They say he was misguided and Allah guided him. But let me say, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا. Ulama have stated almost 9 opinions, but I'll just share with you a few. The first is they say, ضَالًا أي وَجَدَكَ نَاسِيًا فَذَكَّرَكَ. He found you forgetful and he reminded you. But how do we say ضَالًا means forgetful? Because Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَنْ تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you don't find 2 men to witness the contract of debt and loan, then get a man and 2 women. Why 2 women? أَنْ تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا. Meaning just perhaps one forgets, تُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى, one would remind the other. So the word tadil has been used for the meaning of forgetfulness. وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا, he found you forgetful. فَهَدَى, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, he made you remember. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he reminded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than once, until Allah revealed, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى, we will make you recite and you'll never forget. After that ayah, he never forgot. And so when Jibreel would recite to him the Qur'an, from one go he's memorized it and that's it. Right? So this is, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. The other meaning is, وَوَجَدَكَ جَاهِلًا فَعَلَّمَكَ. He found you ignorant. Allah from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the beginning was ignorant. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابِ. You never knew what the book was. وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't even know what Iman was. فَهَدَى. And then Allah Azza wa Jal taught you. So that's one of the meanings. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا أَيْ ضَائِعَ الطَّرِيقِ فَهَدَاكَ. وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا, literally he found you lost and he put you back on the path. And this has been narrated, reported, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have been lost in the roads of Mecca and then Allah guided him back to his house. And the second time he got lost is on his way to Ash-Sham, and Allah for trade obviously, and then Allah azza wa jal guided him back on the straight path and until he got to his destination. The fourth meaning, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا يعني حَيْرًا. He found you confused, ضَالًا. And فَهَدَى لِلطَّرِيقِ الصَّحِيحِ. And then he guided you upon the true path. He found you ضَالًا, confused. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ, before the age of 40, he was confused. And this is why he would go to غَار حِرَى. Why would you think he goes to غَار حِرَى? Because he's confused. What, should I worship the idols with Quraysh? Or should I follow the Christians? Or should I follow the Jews? What should I do? No. He said to himself, no. He left all that and he went by himself to a cave. He's confused. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fahada, he guided him there. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم فهذا. He gave you this light, this Quran, then you weren't confused because you knew there is ربك سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. ووجدك ضالا, one of the last meanings, he found you seeking. You were seeking, in other words, the same meaning as confused. You were looking around. فهذا. And then he gave you this Quran and he guided you upon the straight path. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Subhanallah, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. You know, he found you poor. عَائِلًا, poor. He found you desperate, in a desperate situation. And he made you أَغْنَى. He freed you of need. He enriched you. He made you rich. He made you wealthy. Now, there's a question. How did he become rich? How did Allah Azza wa Jal enrich Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't inherit any wealth from his dad. Well, obviously he couldn't because he was still in his in the stomach of his mother when his father died, so he doesn't inherit anything. He didn't inherit anything from his mother because she had nothing. He did not inherit anything from his grandfather Abdul Muttalib because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not a direct child of Abdul Muttalib. Therefore, he's covered by the children of Abdul Muttalib. He gets nothing from the wealth and the inheritance. So he grew up with his only source of income that was his own hard work. That's how he grew up. He would take care of sheep. He was a shepherd in Mecca, and he would make a few coins at the end of the month. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كُنْتُ أَرْعَى الْغَنَمَ فِي مَكَّةِ عَلَى قَرَارِيطِ. I used to take care of the sheep in Mecca for a few coins at the end of the month. And when he got in trade with Khadija radiallahu anha in Mecca, he started making a bit more money. So he had the agreement with Khadija, the prophets will go half, I take half, you take half. Bit by bit, he was making some wealth. So then how did Allah Azza wa Jal enrich him? The first way Allah enriched him is through the marriage, by the marriage of Khadija. Through his marriage of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Khadija, it happened in the Haram, in Mecca. Abu Talib, his uncle, he took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Kaaba. He got up and he said, O Quraysh, I take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mahr. That also proves that Rasulullah was poor. He couldn't even pay his own mahr. Abu Talib said, I'll pay it for him. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Khadija, she gifted him all her wealth to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's how Allah fa'aghna. That's how he enriched him, through the marriage of Khadija, when she gifted him all her wealth. You know what we learn from this story? That the marriage is one of the most essential ways of becoming wealthy and rich. Marriage. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, I'm amazed from a person that wants to get rich but doesn't want to get married. Doesn't make sense. Allah Azza wa Jal did not guarantee wealth and richness in the Quran for anyone except for the one who gets married. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Marry them off. For if they are, they're the condition, if they are fuqara, poor, يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ, Allah Azza wa Jal will enrich them. He'll make them wealthy, min fadlih, from his blessings. No other guarantee in the Quran except through marriage. So this is one way in how Allah enriched Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through his marriage of Khadija. The second way he enriched Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is through jihad and ghanaim, the spoils of war. You know, the Sahaba, most of them became rich after Fatah Makkah, when the spoils, when the ghanaim of Hunayn came. No, Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. That فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا was Fatah Makkah. وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا. And spoils of war, plenty they will take. That's referring to the spoils of war of Hunayn. Subhanallah, that's how they became rich. So much spoils of war and money came from there. Now, also, how did they become rich? How did Rasulullah ﷺ, how did Allah enrich him? Through the kharaj that came from Bahrain. You know, wealth, money, taxes from Bahrain came to Medina. Until the companions said that this was the greatest ever wealth that came to Rasulullah ﷺ in Medina. Nothing greater than this wealth ever came. It's called kharaj al-Bahrain, taxes and money that came from Bahrain. There was so much money that was collected that day and came from Bahrain that the companions said everyone took his share. Our closets, our chests were full of money and there were still leftovers, and the leftovers we put them in the back of Masjid al-Nabawi. We put them in the back of the masjid, everyone's taking his share. Then the Sahaba said, by Allah, the next morning we have never ever seen the masjid full of worshippers like we saw it that day. The next morning, even the munafiqun came for Salat al-Fajr. They came for the wealth, not for the Salat. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished praying Salat al-Fajr, he finished, he turned around, he saw so many people, He saw faces he's never seen before in Salat al-Fajr. What are these people doing here? So he says to them, he gave a khutbah. He said, O people, you all know what Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us of wealth that came from al-Bahrain. And then he said to them, Wallahi, I don't fear for you poverty. I fear that the dunya, it opens up for you just like it opened for those before you. And you'll begin to compete with one another, just like the ones before you competed one another. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ And then it will destroy you like it destroyed those before you. And another narration, it'll distract you like it distracted those before you. This is the dunya. It opened up for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It opened up like it's never opened up for anyone before. He never did anything with it. He never wanted it anyway. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ Allah has already told him. You know? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ يُعْطِي عَطَاءَ مَنْ لَا يَخْشَى الْفَقَرِ He used to give the giving of someone that never fears poverty. Right? Because what's the wealth going to do for him anyway? It was open, it was all in his hand. But he gave it all away. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions these three favors that He gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى Now the final part of the surah, we're coming to the end. He teaches him how to thank Allah for this. You are an orphan, I sheltered you. You are looking for guidance, I gave you the guidance. You are poor, I enriched you. How do you thank Allah for that? So he says to him, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ Then especially when it comes to the orphan, فَلَا تَقَرْ Then do not overpower him and do not humiliate him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is being told by Allah and he will never do this. But he's being told, and we as his followers are being taught, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ We're being taught through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one was more merciful to the orphan than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, every time a companion died in the battlefield, and this companion left behind a family, wife and kids, and the kids now are orphans, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be first to offer himself in marriage to this woman. Why? So he can take care of the orphans. Not because of marriage and woman and so on, but because of taking care of the orphans. And so listen to this. This is why all his wives, except Aisha, were all what? Were all fayyib. They all had already been married and they have children. When Salama radiallahu anha, when Abu Salama, when he died on the battlefield, he left behind Salama and her kids. And the companions came to Salama after the war. And they said to her, they approached her, proposing, we want to get married to you, Salama. So she said to them, Wallahi, I will not get married to anyone after Abu Salama. I don't want anyone. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard her story and he came to her house. And he said to her, Ya Salama, don't say that. Don't say it. Rather say, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. He said to Salama, say, Oh Allah, reward me for my affliction, for this calamity, and give me something better in exchange. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, and who's better than Abu Salama? He said to her, don't worry, you're upset now. Just say it and stay at home. So she said the dua, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. After her iddah, which is 4 months and 10 days, he came back to her house. Not because of her, but because of the orphans and the kids she has. Allah Azza wa Jalla had already told him, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ Don't humiliate, don't turn away from the orphan. So he came to her and he said to her, Ya Salama, I want to get married to you. And she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not qualified to get married to you. He said to her, well, why not? She said, firstly, I'm a jealous woman. Secondly, I'm old. Thirdly, I have kids and children. And fourthly, I fear that if I got married to you, that I will not be giving you your rights in marriage. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will be upset and angry with me. Then He'll punish me in the hellfire. I don't want this. So then he said to her, one second. As for you being jealous, I'll make dua that Allah removes this from you. As for you being old, then I'm old too. As for you having children, then they're my children as well. So Qabilat, she accepted, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got married to her. And he took care of the orphans and the children. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the sa'il, for the beggar, for the asker, the one that asks, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, don't drive him away. Allah said, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلْ, as for the asker, the beggar. He didn't say, فَأَمَّا السَّائِلْ لِلْمَالِ, as for the one that asks for money, as for the one that asks for food. No, he didn't say that. He just said, أَمَّا السَّائِلْ. Again, تَوَسُّعْ فِي الْمَعْنَى. He didn't limit it to anything, so he can open the meaning for it. What does it mean? It means, as for the asker. Anyone that asks you for knowledge, for guidance, even for food, for water, whatever it is, أَمَّا السَّائِلْ, any type of question he's asking, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, don't tanhar. The word tanhar comes from the word nahar. What's a nahar? Nahar is a river. What's that have to do with tanhar? A nahar, it's a river, it's a water, but it's a river that gushes. Right? It's a river that gushes, it flows. Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Flowing rivers, rivers that gush. So you know, Allah is saying, أَمَّا السَّائِلْ لَا تَنْهَرْ. The asker, the beggar, the one that asks you and begs, do not shout at them. Do not shout. They will feel like your shouting and your insults is like a river that is gushing at them with this water hitting them continuously. It's like it's about to push them away because of its force and wave over wave. So, you know, فَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ would mean don't flood him, don't gush him with words of insult. You beggar, stop, go work, stop begging, you this, you that, you know, jobless, homeless, go find a job, go find this, go do this, you're a disgrace, you're that. That's how people insult the asker, the sa'il. And Allah is saying, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, don't you run your mouth like a river that flows. You know, a river when it flows, it doesn't leave anything in front of its path except that it destroys and it gets rid of. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, don't do like this to the sa'il. And you know, sa'il in the da'wah, if someone asks you in the da'wah, you know something, answer, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, right? Someone asks you for money, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Even if it's a dua you're going to ask, if you can't give him money, just don't turn him away and don't insult him with these words that will flow from your mouth like a gushing river. And subhanAllah, Allah is telling this to who? To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is ala khuluqin azim, the best of manners. So you just think of how important this ayah is then for me and you. If Allah is saying this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about us? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, last ayah in the surah. And when it comes to the ni'mah, to the blessings, to the favor of your master, then make mention of it. بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ. Allah Azza wa Jal ascribed the blessing and the favor to himself. He said, نِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ, as for the favor of your Lord. So who's the favor for? Who does it belong to? It belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. We're learning something here. Allah Azza wa Jal ascribed the ni'mah to himself. We're learning that you never acquired the ni'mah to begin with. Your parents never gave you anything of ni'mah. Your grandfather, your this, your that, your boss, no one gave you nothing. Who gave you it ultimately? أَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ, your Lord is the one that gave it to you. Ultimately, the favor that came to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you need to ascribe the ni'mah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had a kingdom, as we said. He was asked, Ya Sulaiman, where do you have all this? You and your father, where do you get all this from? He said to him, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. He said, this is from the blessings of my Lord, so he can test me if I'll be grateful or I won't be grateful. The first way of being grateful is acknowledging that this is for Allah. Is the first way of being grateful. Otherwise, if you ascribe this ni'mah to yourself, then that's the jahil, that's the kafir bi ni'matillah. That's the ignorant one, that's the one that is really ungrateful to Allah's blessing. Look at Qarun, who was from the people of Musa. When they asked him, what's this? He said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He says, I acquired this from my own knowledge. What did Allah do to him? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Him and his buildings and his wealth, whatever he had, all sunk into the ground. It's sinking until now, until it reaches Yabu Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because he ascribed the ni'mah to himself. Allah is teaching ni'mati rabbik. Close your eyes and the ni'mah is from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the first way you thank Allah for what you have. Right? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Already, that should be the title in your mind. When you get to your phone, just say, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ When you open your car, نِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ When you walk into your house, نِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ When you see your children and your wealth, all this is رَبِّك, well from your Lord. Nothing from you. The moment you ascribe it to yourself, it will go away. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ We already have an example in Qarun. So, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he didn't even mention what ni'mah. What بِنِعْمَةِ He just said, أَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ The favor. Again, تَوَسُّعْ فِي الْمَعْنَى Vastness, it's open. But Allah said, ni'mat. He didn't say, وَأَمَّا بِنِعَمِ رَبِّكِ As for the ni'mah, as for the one ni'mah. Had Allah said, أَمَّا بِنِعَمِ Then it would have meant, as for all the favors of Allah, then make mention. But Allah said the singular. As for the favor of Allah. You know why? Because you will never ever be able to accumulate the ni'am of Allah. So how can you make mention of them if you can't even count them? وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you were to count the blessing of Allah, ni'mah one, you will never be able to get to the exact number of one blessing. You won't be able to thank Allah for one blessing. You know, breathing. Breathing. How about the studies? 24,000 inhale, exhale a day. Have you thanked Allah 24,000 times just for the blessing of going in and out? Inhale, exhale? No. That's just here. What about the eye and every time it blinks? And the blood and every time it circulates in your body? And the fingers and every time you move them? And the tongue and every time it moves? And the eyes and the ears and everything else that you got in your body? Right? So you can't do that. So bi ni'mati just one. Just thank for one and that should be alright. Allah Azza wa Jal praised Ibrahim when he said, Shakiran li an'umih. He praised Ibrahim, but he said that Ibrahim was grateful to a few blessings. An'um. Not ni'am, an'um. You know, subhanAllah. And that was something great of Ibrahim, that he got to thank Allah for a few blessings. Well, Allah just wants from us just one. Just you try to thank him for one, you won't even be able to, but you have to. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ The ulama, they said that this ayah, it refers to the wisdom of Rasulullah ﷺ. In other words, make mention of this wisdom that Allah gave you. This Islam that he gave you, that's the biggest ni'mah. Make mention of it, preach it, teach it to the people. Now you see, is this ayah special to Rasulullah ﷺ or to everyone? We'll conclude with this point. This is the second last point. Is this ayah special to Rasulullah or to everyone? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To everyone, right, okay. So how do we make mention of Allah Azza wa Jal's favor upon us? Do we stand here and we say, Alhamdulillah, brothers, my income is $2,000 a week and I have over 10 cars, I have 2 houses, I have 4 wives and 10 kids. Is that how you thank Allah's blessing? No, you don't thank Allah's blessing like this. What's sufficient to say is that if someone asks you, brother, how's everything? That you say, Alhamdulillah, بِخَيْرٍ وَفَضْلٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ We are blessed and alhamdulillah, we are living in blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't have to be specific. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ يعني in general. Just thank Allah and tell the people that alhamdulillah, everything is good for you and you're living in the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And don't be specific. Because if you're specific, and يعني perhaps there was someone that heard you and he's got the evil eye, you maybe have 4 wives today, tomorrow you'll have 0. Right, so yani you've got to be very careful in what you speak to the people. Okay, so we'll conclude inshallah ta'ala how the beginning of the surah connects to the end of the surah. It will be done. Allah Azza wa Jal began the surah by saying, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ Allah Azza wa Jal will soon, but a little later, he'll give you. And that giving was mentioned at the end of the surah. He awa, he gave him shelter. He hada, he gave him the guidance. Aghna, he enriched him. The other thing is, also connects at the beginning, Allah said, وَلَلْآخِرَةَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى The later is better than the earlier. Also that came in the end. That earlier he was an orphan, later Allah gave him shelter, that's better than orphanage. Earlier he was seeking, then later Allah Azza wa Jal gave him guidance, that was better. And earlier he was poor and Allah enriched him and that was better. And Allah Azza wa Jal ended the surah by saying, بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Make mention of Allah's ni'mah. What is Allah's ni'mah upon you from the very beginning? مَا وَدَّعَكْ. That's a ni'mah. Allah didn't farewell you. وَمَا قَلَى. That's also a ni'mah. He's not displeased with you, meaning he's happy with you. أَوَى. That's another ni'mah. أَغْنَى. Another ni'mah. هَدَى. Another ni'mah. And inshaAllah ta'ala, next week when we begin surah al-Sharh, Allah Azza wa Jal ended this surah, بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. What else is a blessing Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ. He expanded his chest and he cleaned his heart. That's also another ni'mah that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from now until إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرِ, it's all about blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. Jazakum Allah khair for listening, although we did take long. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.